Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Namaste, yogis. So excited to have you back here for another episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. Absolutely stoked because Kiran Gandhi is in the building today. Not only is Kiran one of my great friends, but she's an absolutely incredible yogi. She actually did my yoga teacher training in the wonderful Costa Rica, and she is one of the most inspiring public speakers. This woman literally blew the socks off of all of us at the teacher training when she gave a straight up TED talk to all of us and literally performed one of the most incredible performances that brought us all to tears because she's so passionate. And I'm excited for you to hear about where her passion comes from, how she cultivates it, and how she has utilized yoga as a means to let all her bad habits go. Super excited for you guys to jump into this podcast right now. Make sure to like and subscribe and share these episodes with your friends so that we can continue to bring this inspiration all around the world. Much love.
Blessings. Namaste.
Love you, my brother.
Yes, indeed. Super excited to have you all here, yoga revealers from all around the world. I am absolutely excited, ecstatic to have the one and only Kiran Gandhi on the Yoga Revealed podcast today.
I've been such a fan of your podcast for so long. I'm so happy to be part of it.
Oh, that really brings a smile to my heart because this podcast has been running for quite some time.
It has all the love energy infused in it.
Mm-hmm. And some of the most incredible human beings that I've encountered upon my journey thus far. And it's a blessing to have you and your swanky glasses.
Thank you.
How are you feeling today?
I feel good. It feels good to close out a long week. Mm-hmm. Lots of music making. I've been working on the third album, 3 of 3. The first was Visions. First was Voices. The second was Visions. And now it's Vibrations. So we're closing out this year strong.
Ooh, I feel like it's going even more subtle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely like the femininity of the alliteration with the V's. Mm-hmm. And yet I didn't need to spell that out. It ended up being a very sensory trio of albums. Mm-hmm. And I think I like doing things over the long haul, you know? Like, I feel like consistency is the new currency, just really putting in slow, dedicated, hard work over long periods of time, you know, because then the foundations are strong. And I do feel that with the music I've been making.
The foundation is strong. That's with that right. Consistency.
As you know, as a yogi, we have to root to rise. It's the same mentality. It really is.
That is the truth indeed. And it's been such an absolute beauty having the opportunity to get to know you. And it's all been just by circumstance, especially through this beautiful quarantine. I mean, you know, a lot of people have had the opportunity to tap into a deeper sense of consistency in their mm-hmm. own self-practice. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how we met. Yes. Is through the Yoga Revealed, not Yoga Revealed, actually through my other project, Your Aligned Purpose.
Yep.
And I happened to have you on as one of the performers. Yeah. And that was like my first real deep connection mm-hmm. to you. I would say that when I saw you at Lightning in a Bottle, that was a really awesome first introduction to you and your music. and you just threw it down. I remember being out there like, oh my goodness, she's on fire.
You know, playing at that festival was particularly amazing, not only because we met, but because the kinds of folks who I was playing for and performing for are folks who I'd want to be friends with, you know, because that Lightning in a Bottle or your festival, your Aligned Purpose, you're bringing together people who really do want to make the world a better place, who want to come together in love, who want to come together in gratitude. And so, you know, that's how I'm thinking about my music and the lyrics when I'm writing it. And so then to perform that message to folks who already have similar values is actually very, very nourishing. You know, as musicians, we need those kinds of shows coupled in and mixed in with the shows where we're sharing this message with folks who don't often think about gratitude practice, what they're putting in their body, what they're consuming, things like that.
And I wanted to ask you, when did that first happen for you? When was like that switch turned on to actually start thinking about what you're putting in your body, the words that you're speaking out of your mouth, and how important it was to bring that intention into all that you do?
Such a good question. I think I really started waking up 10 years ago, right after graduating college. And it was coming to LA, because I think growing up in New York City, going to Georgetown, going to Harvard, going to all these places where there was not much of consciousness around what we're consuming. There's not much consciousness around even the music that we're consuming. It's just very go, go, go. You're in cities. You're rewarded for being part of these elite institutions that you're, you know, you're kind of on the hamster wheel of delivering, you know, your homework and whatever. And I grew up in that environment, and so I was able to participate in it. Mm-hmm. But when I came to LA, I started connecting with folks who, you know, worked on farms and were growing their own food and who looked radiant. And I was like, I want to glow like how you glow. And they're like, here, this is how you grow your own kale. And here's some tomato seeds. Like, watch the miracle of nature happen. And it really spoke to me because, you know, on a personal level, I think coming from Indian parents growing up, for them, the privilege was being able to leave India, come to New York City, and be able to order food out and be able to eat every meal out. That was the privilege. That was the kind of flex for my parents' generation. Yeah. You know, that was, they were the dreams of their parents by coming to New York. And so I grew up, meals were out, meals were big, you know. And so that was really beautiful for me to start having my own garden, you know, having my own, eating my own kale that I grew with my own love and seeing the benefits of that.
Yeah, I feel like that's what a lot of us are doing now, is really going back to those roots of growing our own vegetables, really taking the time to become more intentional about what we do consume. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's also kind of like the whole full circle of yoga as well.
Yes.
And so I want to hear a little bit more about your yoga practice and how yoga was first revealed to you.
I did grow up with, you know, between New York City and Mumbai, India. My family's Indian, so of course yoga has been part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Not nearly to the extent and to the rigor that I, you know, in my adulthood would have loved as in my childhood. But I think in my childhood, it's boring. Yoga's so boring. I don't want to do yoga. It's boring. I'm fast. I like things that are fast. I like track and I like, you know, volleyball and things with high intensity. Mm-hmm. And it was in college that I took my first Bikram class, the first hot yoga, 90 minutes.
That's where I started too.
I know. And actually when you told me that that's where you started your journey, I really was so happy to hear that, because it really was this disciplined, raw entry point into the practice where it was so intense. And I felt so accomplished every time I'd come out of one of those classes. That's what kept me coming back for more. It humbled me. Mm. And you know, till this day, I've never walked out of a Bikram class, even though when the heat is intense and, you know, maybe I haven't hydrated well that day, it's all in the mind to get yourself through. And I really appreciated the discipline that I would learn in those classes to then take onward when I was working at Interscope, when I'd work late nights at Harvard, whatever it was, that discipline really served me. So I would say that's the first attraction that I've had to my yoga practice more so than anything, is that strengthening of the mind, you know, the ability to hold a posture longer than you'd think you'd be able to, or the ability to just study the fluctuations, yoga, chitta, vritti, rodaha, you know, calming the fluctuations of the mind, to be able to go through with anything. That's enormous amounts of self-power. So that was one big part of it. Of course, the second thing was flexibility and leanness in my body, just feeling the immediate benefits of healing from the kind of cellular, muscular tissue level inside out. increasing my ability to run faster because I'm soothing my flexibility and my soreness is recovering quicker with each yoga class. That was a big secondary part. And then I think the third part is just getting better at something. Like, it feels so good to, 3 weeks ago, I couldn't hold this Warrior 3, and now a month later, I'm holding it, you know, and feeling the growth in these different postures. Those were some of the biggest things that attracted me to yoga.
That's incredible. And when did you actually start to utilize yoga as a consistent practice?
I worked at Interscope, then I toured drumming for MIA, which you know. And it was only until 2016 that I started performing and producing and touring on my own project as Madam Gandhi. And those first 2-3 years were so challenging. It was so fun. But when you're running your own project, you're very overwhelmed, you know? And when you feel stressed, you just want to do things that are not good for your body. And you're moody and, you know, you want another coffee and then you want to have a beer. And, you know, it's just completely out of balance. And it's really been, you know, right at the top of the pandemic, it's actually a fairly recent journey where I've really taken my own commitment to my own wellness to just a whole nother level. And watching how yoga helped me prepare for certain, not tours, because of course now we've just been at home, but prepare for talks that I was giving virtually, performances that I was giving virtually, feeling tired and then just doing even 10, 15 minutes of yoga stretching and watching how the blood flow alone is more effective than any espresso shot, more effective than any matcha I could be having, you know, so knowing that feels really empowering. Feeling the joy after a yoga practice of that, like, clean, fresh, oxygenated blood is so effective. Clarity. And then everything else comes with it, you know, getting rid of alcohol. I gave up coffee, gave up smoking, committed to plant-based. I mean, just, like, radical transformation in the past 2 years,
Well, cheers to your radical transformation.
Brother, you're such a big inspiration, and you know that you are. And you walk the walk, you talk the talk. It's such a pleasure. It's so wonderful to have a living embodiment of the kinds of ways that I also want to be living. And seeing how you inspired me by being a model of that behavior allows me to do that now for others, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in music, where we believe that we got, you know, punk rock, you out here drinking, then you out here injecting this, and then you out here then taking coffee in the morning, and that, you know, what if we just said, no, actually, we just get like 8 hours of sleep, and like we drink water, and like then this amazing thing happens where you just wake up the next day, like ready to do it all over again with no issues. And I think in music, we have this misnomer that it's a party, and I think my own wellness has allowed me to make possibly the best music I've ever made.
Wow. That's incredible to hear.
Yeah.
Because I feel that the beauty of yoga is that the more consistent that you become in the practice, the more clear you become.
Amen.
And whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's, you know, becoming an incredible athlete, it's like that channel of wisdom, of clarity, of light is channeling through you.
Yes.
And you're just a conduit. And that's the beauty I feel is like you're literally becoming more clear. And I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in how
you
enunciate your words. I can see
I love it.
I'm not kidding you. Also in your practice. Yes. In your practice. It's been an absolute joy. I had the blessing of guiding this one through an incredible yoga teacher training. And I felt like, honestly, Kieran, it was like watching a flower
bloom. I feel that way too. Seriously. I definitely feel the past year and a half like on my butterfly out of the cocoon vibes for sure. There was something you were saying too about clarity and about being a conduit. And, you know, so much in yoga, we talk about releasing the egoic mind, you know, moving away from that. And I think that concept is really a consistent challenge to really master and understand what that means. But I think in the past year and a half, what I've been personally waking up to is this feeling of when you do something for a higher purpose, that's when you step out of the egoic mind and into just being that channel that you're talking about. And I've really been feeling that more so than ever, where I don't feel like I'm just getting myself out of bed in the morning. I feel like I'm getting out of bed because I gotta write this music because I genuinely believe it has the power to heal someone. Maybe that someone is in the UK, maybe that someone is in Nigeria, in Brazil, in India, places that I can't go right now because of a pandemic, but the song can go. And that inspires me, that motivates me, that makes me want to be my best self so I can show up for my own art because I believe in the work that I'm doing and I believe in the sincerity of the work that I'm doing. That feels different. That feels different than 2 years ago, which was like, okay, is the aesthetic of the album cool? Is this cool? Is who am I opening for? Who's that person opening for? You know, you get caught up in the mundane competition of the music industry, and it feels so good to graduate. It feels so good to be like in my like mama energy, like, okay, these are what the kids are doing. No, we out here to show some leadership, you know. It's a different energy.
And what do you feel that the kids these days need more than ever? Because I feel like the next generation is so budding and so ready for something more than what they've been given before.
Yes. Well, you know, there was this beautiful song from Alicia Cara, you know, who really speaks to the younger generation. Her song blew up when she was talking about, like, I don't want to be at this party where I'm in the corner and I don't want to talk to anybody and everyone's wasted and I don't have any friends here and I don't really like this guy and he's just talking at me, you know. And that song blew up because so many teenagers were like, oh, I don't have to do that. Whereas every other, you know, music video and every other social media is telling me that I gotta smoke and drink and party and wear this and hook up with that person. And, oh, I don't have to. And you guys feel that way too. Oh gosh, what a relief, you know? Because that's how I felt. I was like, I don't get it. The alcohol doesn't even taste that good. The music's not that good here at the frat house. I don't even want to be here. I can curate a better, nice night at my own home, you know?
Real talk.
So I think it's just curate it, like being the voice to give permission to, you know, being a more wholesome version of yourself and having that be the thing that's sexy and desirable and rare. Mm-hmm. Having showing, you know, the ability to show up for yourself, having that be the thing that's sexy and desirable and rare, and affirming that for young people.
I also feel that, you know, really making that decision takes a lot of courage.
Power, yes.
And where does that courage and that power come from? Like how, what would you say are like three steps to really embodying that courage and that power to make that decision that I'm going to be wholesome. Yes. This is who I am. Yes. This is what I care for. Yes. These are my values. And now I'm going to lead a life that actually aligns with them.
Yes. There's so much to say about that. I, you know, maybe it's not steps, but I can certainly share experience, a couple of experiences. The first is, I have to say, it takes enormous amounts of bravery to live in a way that is more holistic and more wholesome. And I say that because everything in this culture that we live in is designed to numb. Oh, you had a tough day at work? Have a cocktail. Instead, we should be saying, okay, why did you have a tough day at work? Is it because the boss is mistreating you? Maybe you should not be in this job. Mm-hmm. Oh, why did you have a tough day at work? Oh, you worked really hard and you gave it your all today. Okay, so maybe what you're needing is rest, not three drinks of alcohol with sugar are going to keep you up all night and you're going to wake up feeling even more gross, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this kind of lack of intelligence around the conversation. And I think it takes bravery to look at our own pain and say, I'm going to make a decision that attacks this pain at the root rather than consistently numbing the pain and only making it worse. And that's a huge thing that I've been waking up to. You know, I would feel empty after playing certain shows and just want to go have a beer by myself in the hotel room so that I can like pass out and sleep. And the larger question is, okay, what are you really feeling? Oh, okay, maybe I'm feeling lonely. And actually what I want is to be with my band after the show. Maybe what I want is to spend more time after the show meeting my fans, you know? So we made certain adjustments where I would room with other people. So we have this like cozy energy to go to sleep and debrief the shows, you know, or making it a ritual to go to dinner together afterwards, like addressing something at the root. So that's the bravery, being willing to go into your pain and feel it so that you can understand it and treat it correctly. The second thing is to be in service of something higher than yourself. When it's just ourselves, to be honest, I think at the end of the day, we feel a bit like it's, I don't know, there's like a human need to be in service. I really do believe that. I think that's part of the spirit that we all, this DNA that we come from. And it doesn't mean you have to know what your passion is in life. It could mean like, you know, showing up for a neighbor, showing up for a mother, showing up for a friend, you know, teaching something to a friend that you might have learned recently that's cool, sharing a meal with someone, you know, being in the service. That's number two. So the first is bravery. Number two is being in service. And then maybe the third one I would say is I have a very strong visualization practice where I really visualize success. I really visualize a life where I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm visualizing what it's like in the same way I'm able to say, you know, I don't want to go to this restaurant or that restaurant. I want to go to this other restaurant. What if there's an added layer? Well, that restaurant also has to have vegan, gluten-free options, or that restaurant has to have non-alcoholic options, you know, things like that. I visualize success. What does that look like? And like I told you earlier, we need models to know what that can look and feel like. It's hard for us to imagine worlds that we don't know are necessarily possible. When one person shows us the way and you show up with your strawberry vegan milkshakes instead of a beer or whatever, I'm like, yeah.
Caught me.
No, I mean, last time you and I had lunch, I ordered some tea, someone else ordered some water, whatever, and you were like, yeah, I'll have some hot water. And I was like, I don't really see where this is going. And then the hot water arrives and you reach into your pocket and you pull out a little private tea bag of your own. That's a mushroom ashwagandha, organic, you know, nice tea bag. And you put your own tea bag in this hot water the restaurant brought you. And I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Why should we settle for anything but the most beautiful things to put into our bodies? So that's that third thing, you know, visualizing success either by piecemealing other people around you who live in a way that is inspiring to you. And then visualizing what can that look like for myself so that when I do it, there's already deja vu around that. I've done it already. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. There's already deja vu around it. Seriously, because that is really the beauty of visualization is that you're creating your own reality.
Yes.
Wow. You just had to point it out for me. Thank you, Kieran. Wow. And I must say that you have a really poignant way about how you lead your life. And I feel like the intentional attitude that you bring forth literally shines in everything you do, from the tattoos that you have to the clothing that you wear, even to, you know, songs like, you know, All My Bad Habits Have Got to Go. You know, like those things I feel like have really shown how consistent you are in taking the time to visualize your reality. So I would love to hear how you visualize your next 3 years.
What a beautiful question. I've definitely been sitting in this like queens do queen things energy. Like that's really where I've been sitting, like queens do queen things. So what does that mean? I think the first and foremost, it means what is best for everybody in the situation? You know, what is best for everybody in the situation? So when I'm thinking about my management or I'm working with my team, you know, maybe there's a deal that I want to take, but is that the best for everybody who's putting a lot of sweat equity into my team? Maybe not, you know, and their buy-in does matter if I want to have this long-term trust over the years, which makes a project stronger. You have to keep people, you know. I think queens do queen things means like what's best for everybody in the queendom. Like, is this best for you to like masturbate your own ego, or is this best for us to push society forward? Yeah. And like, you really have to ask yourself, what is the intention? What is the intention behind this social media post? What is the intention behind this call that I'm trying to have? What is the intention behind me asking this person for something? Is this something that they would also want to do, or do I need to let them be and I don't need to be asking them for anything? You know, queens do queen things. You sit in your elegance, you sit in your a feminine sort of desire for better for everybody. You know, that's really the larger goal that I have for the next 3 years, is for myself and maybe for a family that I'm gonna have, or for my music, is queens do queen things. You know, you put good energy into something, you're in service, you're a benevolent ruler. Like, you are. I very much feel like I'm in a leadership position in every area of my life. But I treat that leadership position as an opportunity to serve.
That's beautiful. And what calls you to service now?
Seeing how many healing modalities have helped me, and therefore wanting to make that accessible to other people. And I think also modeling great vulnerability and great bravery. I think it takes a lot to talk about, okay, I really want to invite more veganism into my life, but I'm not going to be out here saying I'm vegan, then in 2 weeks I'm breaking it, and then 2 weeks, you know, it's kind of a mess that way, and no one trusts anybody, you know. Instead, what I do is I just say, okay, I'm doing my best. So I was eating vegetarian for a while, for example, and someone orders a slice of pepperoni pizza, yeah, I have a bite, you know. So I was very gentle with myself. And so much so that for so many years, by the time I arrived to the places where I have in the past 2 years, transitioning to commit to fully plant-based is so much easier, because it's a slow and gentle procedure where I'm not claiming vegan and then failing, or telling a million people and then failing. You know, it's like a very private, protected, sincere commitment where I believe in myself and I know that I'm going to get myself there. And if I involve too many people, either because at one point when I am successful with the veganism that you want to flex, which I've seen plenty of people do, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm vegan. Oh, yeah, I don't drink. Oh, yeah, I don't do this. Then 2 weeks fucking later, you're out here with 3 beers. You're out here with a pepperoni pizza. What happened? You know, so it's better to not be, you know, telling too many people about your goals and to just privately, sincerely work towards them. And I think that vulnerability and that truth is really key. I think that's how I feel like I'm in service, by modeling what is genuine and being gentle with the self. You know, at this point, I've done 6 marathons. Mm-hmm. And when I used to start training, I said, Kieran, it's okay. You just do 2 miles. And even if you can't do 2 miles, you just Uber yourself home. Nobody needs to know. You know, you take care of yourself. That's what I mean. Like, you work with gentle little steps. And it's hard because social media, everyone only posts the end result. No one posts the work in between, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is part of the leadership.
And how have you been gentle in your yoga practice?
Mm-hmm. I think some of the best lessons that we learned on your yoga teacher training was, you know, first you're in the egoic state. You're looking left and right. You're like, oh, gosh, that person nailed it. Mine looks terrible. You know, you're comparing. Then you move from the egoic mind to the breath-oriented mind. So you start bringing it into the self. Okay, did I inhale on that swoop up? Did I exhale on that fold forward? Okay, now instantly I'm back in my own body. Just mm-hmm. that one gentle readjustment. And then the third, where you're doing something from a place of love, like, oh gosh, I love this Warrior 3. I can't wait for Warrior 3. Oh my God, it's time for Warrior 3. All right, let's do it. This is my chance. You know, I'm going to give this posture so much love. I'm going to breathe at the right moments. I'm going to clasp my hands together. It's going to be a capital T like Tom, not a broken umbrella. And here we go, you know, and so then there's love and excitement and you're giving this like positive juice to the thing. And I think that transformation has been huge. Even in the music, you can apply the same thing, that mentality to anything. Oh man, Drake's doing this, that person's doing that. That's the egoic. Then when I bring it back to the breath, it's like, okay, what am I doing with my team? How are we breathing today? Mm-hmm. And then the final is, oh my gosh, I can't wait to play congas on this song. I love this song. I give my heart to this song. You know, I'm excited about this song. I'm not worried about anybody else. You can do that mentality in a relationship. Oh, that person's hot. That person's sexy. That couple has a nice thing going on. You know, then you bring it back to just you and your person. And then by the end of it, you're like, I just love you and I only want you and I'm gonna give you all I've got, mm-hmm. you know, and whatever you give is what's given back. So I think that's how I've, you know, been nurturing my yoga practice.
And over the past, I would say probably how long have you been practicing yoga?
Yeah. since I was 19 officially. Like, you know, my first Bikram was 19. I'm 32 now. So 13 years. Uh-huh. But I definitely, so the Bikram was my consistent practice for 10 years. But I think the past two, I've really been able to amplify it through my work with you and through our yoga teacher training.
Mm-hmm. And so in your last 2 years of really refining your practice, mm-hmm. what are some of the takeaways that you've mm-hmm. fully received as things that have now amplified your music and your creativity?
Wow. There's two ways I can answer that question. One is, how has the physical practice of yoga directly benefited me? And I think the one is absolutely coming back to clarity, you know, fleshing out any tension in the body, any energetic blocks, you're physically releasing those. So you literally are aligning the chakras, cleaning out those pipelines so that when I sit down to sing lyrics, my body and my aura is open so I can literally sing. So that's like a very physical way that it affects me. And then from the lessons of yoga itself, really this notion of cleansing out the fluctuating mind, you know, calming the monkey mind. You know, the mantras like Lokaha Samastaha Sukhino Bhavantu, may all beings be happy and free. We should all be singing that mantra every day, multiple times a day. We should all be collectively as a earth wanting that for the planet, you know. I have a heavy heart when I sing it because I used to go into the juvenile hall twice a month before the pandemic happened. And so when I sing that, I sing it with this heavy heart because all beings are not free. And even though these kids are so miraculous in the fact that they are somehow able to find happiness in such a wrong situation, I sing that mantra with a heavy heart, but I sing it because that's what we want to call in. That's what we want to, you know, invoke. And so that's another part of the yoga that I think directly helps me, is the mantra and the notion of of using your mind for power.
I love that, using your mind for power. We've got this powerful thing up here, you know, it's like it's doing a lot.
Own your voice, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, right?
Becomes even more powerful when it's connected to your heart.
That's right. And when, you know, I love when you seal our practices about connecting with the mind, the lips, and the heart. You should tell folks about what you teach us when we close out our practices.
They'll just have to come to a training or a retreat, and then they'll learn on their own.
So good.
Yeah, definitely. And with that being said, I wanted to just have you speak to what you felt when you're practicing in these beautiful places of nature. Like, how does that differ from, say, practicing at your own home or practicing in the city?
I'm so happy you asked this question, because my own relationship to nature has amplified dramatically in the pandemic. And I couldn't be more grateful, because I grew up in New York City, like in the heart of Manhattan. My family then moved to Hong Kong, Mumbai, London. I've only known cities. I went to school in DC, in Boston. I live in Los Angeles. I lived in downtown Los Angeles. I've only known cities. I've never known nature. And when I grew up, I was raised with a backwards mentality of cities, you know, are it. If you're anyone, you know, with a career, I don't like, not with a career, that's a bit ridiculous, but I was very much raised in the kind of hamster wheel of life, which is like goal oriented, elite schools, all this kind of thing. And moving to LA helped, being on hikes and small things like that helped. But, you know, coming to visit you in Costa Rica and practice in the jungle, just absolutely like transformative. Transformative because it really recenters your priorities. It really lessens the importance of things that on a city or a career basis do have heightened importance. It's all constructs of the mind. And so it's such a liberating feeling to be in nature, where nature's like, these mountains have been here for centuries before you have. They're going to be here for centuries after you pass. Your problems are not important. All that matters is this delicious oxygen I'm giving you. And did you hear that toucan? That sound is beautiful. You're never going to hear that sound. How lucky you are, you know? And the moon, I had one time when I was crying to the moon, and she was like, honey, I've seen it all. You cry as much as you want, you know? Let it out. It's fine, you know? It's part of it. It softens me. Nature softens me. Nature returns me to my femininity. Nature resets me so I'm on a proper schedule and I'm not so drained. Nature allows me to reprioritize what actually matters and trim away the fluff. And then you're on a cycle with the rest of the animals. You know, you want to get up early. You want to do your meditation. You want to listen for things. You want to watch the sun set and feel the zen of that gift, you know. I mean, honestly, it's funny. Nature made it so easy. Nature's like, duh, obviously.
Nature just like slaps us upside the head.
Yes, yes.
Like, come on, look, it's this simple.
It's so simple. You're, and even like the way, I think a lot about how even our sewage system like removes us so much from it. You know, it's the fact that we're creating these huge waste environments when actually we're supposed to be eating from our nature, releasing, you know, back into the earth, not intervening this perfectly closed loop system that really works. That's another thing that I've been thinking about. When I spent time in Indonesia at the Green School, it was amazing to watch the kids have these toilets that go back into the earth, and then they use that same material as compost for the garden that they're then eating for lunch. It was just such a brilliant system that they're teaching to the kids at a young age and modeling in the schools, and I think we're capable of bringing it back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, 100%. That's why I've been in Costa Rica putting the pedal to the metal on building this retreat center.
I'm so excited, too.
Straight up. It's like, you know, having the opportunity to be doing these types of conversations, yes, in the jungle.
Wow.
And to have those toucans in the background and to hear those waves and to really be breathing that natural oxygen straight from the beautiful palm trees, yes, and epic orchids that are right next.
I love this. And another thing that I wanted to share on a personal level too was there's been a lot of healing. You know, that's been a huge theme for me this past 2 years. And I think for all of us in the pandemic, because you have that time to really drop into your emotions. And it's been so important for me to heal, to look at how things from my childhood, even though childhood looks perfect on paper, small things affect us. It affects how we see ourselves in the world. It affects how we think about our own personal power and potential, you know. Mm-hmm. And releasing those, you know, this is a generic, this has unfortunately become a generic phrase where they say, oh, release what doesn't serve you. You know, that's a big phrase in the wellness community. Oh, no, that doesn't serve you. But really digging deep into what that actually means. Like, oh man, I was raised with this programmed belief. Do I want to continue that way? Okay, if I don't, I have to really look at that belief and really bring it to the surface and say, what am I going to do to change the neural pathways of my own mind, mm-hmm. and take my own thoughts and make them work for me and not against me? Mm-hmm. And being, you know, under the waterfall, being in that, you know, one day we all went to the beach and the waves were crazy and they're like, Kieran, come back. And I was like, no, please just let the ocean kick my ass for a second. Please, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to drown, you know. I was deep in the ocean and the oceans kept circling me and I would go underwater and then I would come back up and they were like, no, please come back. You're scaring us. And I was like, but this is so important for me. It's so healing for me. You know, I like it just, yeah, it's a healing. It's a baptism.
I feel that that space that you're talking about is being out of control.
Yes. It's
realizing it's exactly the pure that. Power of nature that is around you. And that's when you fully have the opportunity to take a step back and to look yes. at the big picture and yes. say, oh, wow, I'm just a little speck in this massive universe.
Which is a completely liberating feeling.
Exactly.
It's actually not a small thing that we would think. It's the most liberating feeling. Mm-hmm. It's that's where you let go of fear.
Mm-hmm. And why would you say it's important to let go of fear? What happens when you let go of fear?
Oh, like delicious, rich joy, like nectar of life, prana, life force energy, prana, joy, removing of blockages, calming of anxiety. You know, a lot of anxiety, my own personal anxiety sits at the belly of my stomach. My solar plexus chakra, which is maybe why I love yellow so much. You know, that's where my healing needs to happen.
Yeah.
And the more I understand these old fears, these old sources of anxiety are programmed, and I deprogram them, the anxiety starts to go away. And there's a softness and a relaxedness in my body, and I'm just being. Mm. And then I watch the, you know, you watch the miracles happen. You watch people come up. You know, I remember on certain days in my recent healing journey where I'm feeling like I'm particularly vibrating at a high auric frequency. Like, I think I was telling a friend, I was like, yeah, this guy, he did a U-turn in the parking lot, comes back to me, and he's like, I'm so sorry, but you are glowing. Like, I was so humble. Yeah, I was so, what's that word? Like, you know, when you feel like a schoolgirl, like, you're like, oh, you're my God, bashful. Me? Yeah, bashful, yeah. Totally.
You're blushing.
100%, 100%. Or I was doing acro with someone a week ago, and he was like, oh my God, like your energy, like what energy are you giving right now? Like your energy's crazy, your aura's crazy, which is honestly the most beautiful compliment you can receive someone, way more so than you're sexy, you're beautiful. Like it's a depth when it's from the soul level. It's a depth when it's from, you know, the soul level, because then it's not only sexual, it's not only mental, it's not only spiritual, it's like full prana. Yeah, it's your being.
Yeah, and when it comes to that, I feel it also brings us back to the awareness that it's not how you said something, but it's like how you made someone feel. That's what's most important.
Yes, and we talk about this a lot, you know, keeping your cup overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best sources of encouragement and compliments that I've received is a lot of people tell me, you know, Kieran, you take such good care of yourself. You take really good care of yourself. And what does that mean? Does that mean, oh, I get a pedicure, I get a massage? No, it means you make radical choices that allow you to show up as your best self every day. Mm-hmm. You acknowledge when you, okay, yesterday I was a bit moody. Why was I moody? Okay, because I not had enough sleep, maybe had a coffee. So you make adjustments. Tomorrow I'm going to show up with better sleep. Tomorrow I'm going to show up, I don't need to have coffee in the morning. You know, like, you own your own choices to show up as the best version of yourself, and so that the cup is overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a really inside out level.
Yeah, I love that. Own mm-hmm. your own choices.
Yeah. And, you know, society teaches us you got to buy this makeup, you got to buy this diet pill, right? That's the capitalist society. But we all know the truth. The truth is you got to eat right. You got to sleep. You got to drink water. You got to give love to people. You got to take care of yourself at that spiritual level. Mm-hmm. Then your cup will be overflowing. You will be beautiful. And you're attracting someone who actually is attracted to your soul energy.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Attracted to you for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Attracted to you because it's the energetic awareness that brings you together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautifully said. And with that being just so, so rich, I wanted to bring us to one of my favorite questions.
Well, I thought you were about to rap.
No. Not rapping yet? Come on. That's the after party. You got the perfect strawberry shakes and the blueberry muffins.
Oh, my goodness. Warrior 2, take a new view. That's one of my favorites. I still do that. I'm like, Warrior 2, take a new view. That's why we do yoga, to see things from a different perspective.
The truth. I'm happy to share that one with you. You can definitely take that one and just give people new views on a daily. So I wanted to ask you, where do you see your yoga evolving? Like, where do you really want to see yourself continue to bring this practice into your life?
Mm-hmm. So many different ways. One is, you know, I have a daily meditation practice now that I've had for 3-4 years. I don't miss a day. But it felt really good to come back from my teacher training with you all and have it be yoga meditation. So now, instead of it being a 20-minute meditation commitment, now it's an hour and 20-minute yoga meditation commitment. And that mm-hmm. felt really, really good. And it's not always possible, but I used to say that about my meditation, and now I'm in a place where I don't miss a day, you know? Mm-hmm. So similar to how I was talking earlier about being vegetarian for a while and then being able to easily transition into being fully plant-based, similar idea. I want to be able to be doing my yoga every day, actually, every day, and inviting that in. Second is my acro yoga. You know, I just can't get enough of acro yoga. Yeah. I just love it with my whole heart. I be out here with 12 new boyfriends a day. Y'all in acro green. Yeah, I just love it so much.
New girlfriends?
Nope. I'm getting all the acro boyfriends these days. It's mm-hmm. just so fun. It just gives me a lot of joy to fly people, to be flown. It really shows me parts of my own personality that need soothing. You know, it pushes me. It's so amazing to watch how comfortable I am flying other people. And in the beginning, how more uncomfortable I'd be to be flown, to be the one who's supported, to let somebody else support me, right? It's such a metaphor for life. If you look at my own project, I'm always the one being the leader. I'm always the one pushing other people. It scares me to have to rely on other people. But it's so important. The human condition, trust helps us. Trust soothes us. Trust allows us to move so much faster, you know? Mm-hmm. Classic proverb from the continent of Africa, if you want to go quickly, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together, right? Mm-hmm. So that acro really teaches me that. And then I think the third thing, you know, if the first is doing it daily, the second is incorporating more acro. I would say number three is inversions. I really do. Yeah. I crave the inversions now. I don't miss a day. I need to be upside down at least a minute a day. It's really cool how the more you do it, the more you're like, I just need to be upside down. Like, I'll be in the studio and I'll just like start doing handstands or do my tripod headstand, you know, whatever. And now it's just a norm. But it's funny because I didn't. If there's something about it where it just resets you, mm-hmm. you'll have to tell us the science behind why it's so effective, but it intuitively just feels good, so I just do it.
Yeah, it not only is intuitively incredible, but it also brings forth the spinal decompression. So turning your spine upside down, turning your circulation upside down, turning your perspective upside down.
Wow, that's what it is.
Allowing your energy to come back to your crown.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then as your shashumna is touching the ground, you're bringing that connection of your life force back to Mother Earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So just putting the chakras upside down, you know?
It's brilliant.
And then when you get right side up, you're like, ooh, wow. All the blood just
it's brilliant.
Flushed.
It's so effective. It's so effective.
It is effective. I love headstands in the morning.
Those are the three. And the closing one I would say with my yoga is the desire to teach. Mm. I can just, I mean, informally, the people I've taught in these past 2 weeks alone coming back, Michelle, who's like an older woman, a healer, who I put in my most recent video, I gave her some classes. I ran into her the other day. She's like, Gandhi, that one class you gave me, it was transformative. And I was like, amazing. And then I was at a potluck the other night with my friend who makes incredible clothing. One girl was complaining about her back. I put her into folded leaf. Then the rest of the six people in the part in the like gathering started getting in line. They said, can I also get a folded leaf? Yo, can I get that folded leaf? Then they paired off. And I was now finding myself teaching folded leaf in this like informal like fashion situation. You know, so empowering people with that knowledge brings so much joy. I flew somebody at an ayahuasca ceremony. I was flying somebody else, and these two sisters who are a little bit more feeling bigger in their body, they didn't even come to me. They self-selected out. And I said, yeah, come, I'm waiting for you. And then one sister was like, no, I'm not going. And then finally one came. I put her into High Flying Whale. She came down and she burst into tears. Oh gosh, she burst into tears. She's like, no one's ever done that for me before. I felt so loved. I felt so supported. So the teaching of these practices really has so much healing to offer.
Definitely. And I'm so happy that you have taken a tune to the acro yoga. The acro yoga is my heart.
It's the best.
Seriously.
Please, are you going to do a YTTA? YTT, come on.
Sooner than later.
From this podcast, I'll stay visualizing the future that I want to manifest at Andrew Seeley AYTT.
Yeah. You hear that, Jason Niemer? We're going to have to do it. It's happening. Yes, it will happen sooner than later. It definitely will. Because I feel now more than ever, people need this human connection. And uplifting one another starts when we're able to trust.
Wow.
And that's the beauty of it.
And trusting ourselves. I think people who don't trust others is because we don't trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that lies with a lot of situations. If you see a quality in somebody else that you don't like, it's because you're critical of the same quality of yourself. So it's just information. Anytime I notice myself being some type of way about somebody else, I'm like, oh, that's because I think that about myself, right? Mm-hmm. And you just instantly, everything is through the lens of the self. Mm-hmm. And the more clear I am, you know, removing substances that don't serve me, the more I'm able to see these things for what they are without judgment, without fear, and just reorganize, you know, and just check myself and re-educate myself. It's very empowering.
It's that svadhyaya, that self-study. Teach us.
What does that mean? Oh, self-study.
Mm-hmm. Self-study.
Okay, ashwaya. As a Indian, I just want to say our culture is fucking ancient, brilliant. Okay, we out here with all the ancient remedies that we're all now trying to study, and this subcontinent of India has been studying these things for so long. It's so brilliant.
I'm excited to lead you on a retreat to India.
Oh, let's go.
Straight up, I'm actually planning one in February.
So. Wonderful. That's my birthday month. Good, and we can visit all my family. Will play some shows. I was touring in India before the pandemic hit. It was really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. So yoga and music, good.
For those yogis out there who perhaps, you know, may be on their path and, you know, may have hit a roadblock and are feeling like, you know, that yoga, that meditation, I don't know if I'm really going to make it today. Mm. Or, you know, I'm not really going to be able to eat that vegan meal today. Mm-hmm. What would you give them as words of encouragement to continue to carry on?
Love this, because I can speak from experience. The first is we have to be our own parents. We'd be our own parents with so much love. Okay, very normal to feel this way. No problem. Take a second. You feel sad today, you'll feel good tomorrow. Normal life. Okay. That you'll, all of these emotions are just fleeting clouds, you know. It's, you know. So that's number one, just so much gentleness, so much acceptance of the feeling instead of what I would watch my father do, which is like, oh, everything on paper is fine. I don't know why I feel this way. I should feel happy, you know? Yeah. He still calls me and he's like, I mean, I don't know. I got this. I have finances. I have a great job. I have great kids. I have great, you know, but I still feel this way. I'm like, this way of thinking, there's no should. Exactly. It's just, okay, you feel this way. Normal. Let's look at why. Mm-hmm. And then the second mentality is like, if continuing the parent analogy, if my kid fell off the bike and they started crying, like, oh God, I had it. I was so good. And now I'm on the floor. It's like, okay, yeah, you had it. You already done it. You know you're capable of it. It's okay. You're going to get back on, you know? No problem. And then the third is, you wouldn't just put the kid like back on the bike. It's like, okay, show me how you pick that bike up. Can you pick up the bike? Okay, yeah, I think I can. Okay, good. Oh, you picked it up, so good. Can you show me how you put that right foot on the right pedal? Can you do that? Okay, yeah, I think I can do that. Okay, show me how you go. Can you go to the end of the block? Okay, yeah, you know? Yeah. So it has to be like that. Okay, I do this for myself. Can you get out of bed? Okay, no, I can't. I'm gonna stay in bed. Okay, can you take the covers off? Okay, yeah, I can take the covers off. You know, I swear, I really have to do it like this some days when it's hard. But you have to create small wins so that you are motivated to get back on track.
Wow. You're going to be an incredible parent.
Thank you so much.
You're going to be an absolutely incredible mama. I can feel it.
Thank you.
Wow. It's beautiful to witness. With that being said, I would love to hear your definition of yoga.
Oh my goodness.
What does yoga mean to you?
I mean, I think the one that's spoken to me the most, and it's not my definition, but a moving meditation. I think that really was the definition that I first heard that really I woke up to. Because it just took it away from the egoic place so instantly. And I loved the idea of using breath to guide the body into movement. This notion of a moving meditation, it just then becomes this vital thing you gotta do every day. Moving meditation, of course. Mm-hmm. How brilliant. Yeah.
And one golden nugget that has been passed on to you that you wish to pass on to our listeners today.
I've been really out here trying to drop as many nuggets as possible for the last hour, and damn.
Just one more. Just one more. Golden nugget, please.
I wouldn't say this is passed on, but it's definitely the central part of my own project and my own message, which is the first song I wrote, Future is Female, and, you know, own your voice, don't be afraid, there's power in what you say, own your voice, don't be afraid, there's power in what you say, and I share that because every time I've shared something that I've experienced that I genuinely, my only intention is to say, this really hurt me. Like, has this ever hurt anybody else? Or this really didn't make me feel good. Has anybody else experienced that? Or I just want to run this marathon bleeding freely on my period because I don't want to use any of these products. Has anybody else ever felt that? And watching the ripple effects of other people raise their hand, you know, oh yeah, I've definitely felt that, you know, and that bravery has always served me.
And will continue to serve not just you, but all the incredible people that you have the opportunity of uplifting too. So thank you so much for
love you, my brother.
Taking the time to join us here, this Yoga Revealed podcast. I love you, Kieran. Continue to shine.
I love you so much, Theamo.
Blessings. And namaste.
And our hugs too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this incredible episode with the one and only Kieran Gandhi. Wow, what a conversation. And I'm super excited because Kieran is releasing her new album. That means that Vibrations is coming out soon, and you can download it on Spotify and also on SoundCloud and also on Apple Music. Make sure to check it out. And make sure to go to KieranGandhi.com to also check out her incredible merch. She's got some of the dopest shirts, some of the most beautiful writings on these shirts. I actually have one of her incredible suits that is multicolored and that says, "We stand up for women," and I'm all about that. So she's got all kinds of great things to check out on her website. Blessings to you. Continue to stay true. Make sure to like and subscribe to this episode and to the Yoga Revealed podcast. Leave a comment below so that we know what you think about this episode. Much love. Until next time, continue to shine. Blessings.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.